Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Iron Bark Podcast, and I am your host, Epion, coming at you with episode, 46? That means we're four away from 50, the big 5-0. In today's episode, we're going to talk about a giant prehistoric salmon, we're going to talk about a fossil of a jellyfish, and the first glow-in-the-dark species known on the planet Earth. It's a very exciting episode today, I kid, but actually, I have a real passion about this one, so giant prehistoric salmon. So they found the remains of a giant prehistoric salmon. And the cool thing about it is it had tusk-like teeth for defense and building nests, suggest studies. So the cool thing about this, if you Google it, you look up the picture, you find the image of it. It's sort of like just above the top of its mouth, like I guess where you would consider its nose to be. You're going to find these like little protruding tusks or like these like, it's like a fang kind of to the side. It's kind of a cool thing if you look at it and you wonder, like, okay, if it was, like, flopping around, it could, like, literally, like, you went in to grab it and it decided to, like, twitch its body real quick and, like, hook its head into the side of your arm. It would stab you. It would fucking stab you. Take you out. Looks like it would suck. Looks like it would suck more than anything else. But it looks super cool. Looks super badass. Yeah, like, I always think salmon are, like, one of the more underrated fish. Like, I think they're super cool. The reason being is that, so they swim up river, they swim up these streams against the odds. They're going against the current. They fight so hard that their color actually changes because their muscles are so exhausted. They're dodging grizzly bears, bears of all kinds. They're just swiping at them. They're jumping over these like rocks. They got to get elevation. They got to get up into the next part of the river. It's super like, I don't know, like it's a hardship they got to go through. And then they're doing it all just to reproduce. And on top of that all, as they're swimming upstream, they're sort of like, there's kind of like this like mythology to it where it's like they're swimming through the spirits of their like dead kin. And, you know, they're still going through that. So they're going through the water and the water has like the spirits of like other fish and that kind of stuff. So there's kind of like a romanticism about it as well, which I find to be, I don't know, just kind of like, there's something metal about it, something kind of like badass, like, imagine doing that as people, right? Whether you're swimming up a stream or running through like a trail, you're surrounded by like the death and murder of from bears of like a bunch of your people, and you're just trying to run up this mountain, and you're trying to jump, and I don't know, just, I think there's like some, there's something to respect about salmon. And when they had these like tusks on them and they were a little bit more like ancient, I think that's pretty cool. I'm glad to see that they were formerly very badass. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the first glow-in-the-dark animals may have been ancient corals deep in the ocean. So what do we got here? We got a little bit of an article. Many animals can glow in the dark, famously fireflies. They blink in summer evenings, but most animals can light up when found deep in the depths of the ocean. A new study, scientists report that deep sea corals that lived 540 million years ago may have been the first animals to glow in the dark for far earlier than previously thought. So basically what this tells us, that bioillumination was a property that came out in fish or corals way earlier than we thought they would. So we keep learning more and more about natural history and biology in these animals. So that's super cool. Super interesting stuff there. The next one is, this one's close to home and it's close to my heart. All right. So we found the fossil remains of a jellyfish. Not any, just anywhere. It was in the Canadian Rockies, my stomping grounds, in Yoho National Park in the Burgess Shale. So all the Rockies, they're basically all like shale, limestone, like it's deposits and they just risen up. So you can find like fossils of really old shit in like the tops of these mountains or in the layers of these mountains, depending on how they're curved or how they've arced. The oldest examples of swimming jellyfish, which lived on Earth's oceans 505 million years ago. And they determined that by looking at the layers of the shale, have been discovered high within the Canadian Rockies. Researchers found 185 82 fossils encased within the rock of the famed Burgess Shale fossil site. Fossils belong to previously unknown species of jellyfish called Burgess medusa, Phasmiformis. That shows how it evolved. These creatures already were millions of years ago. The exceptionally well-preserved fossils are a remarkable find, given that the soft-bodied animals are made of 95% water. The jellyfish measure about 8 inches or 20 centimeters in length. Pretty cool picture, pretty cool fossil. Check that out online. So we got like a rock slab that shows one large to the right and one small to the left. Oh, so they got multiple. That's pretty interesting. Bell-shaped jellyfish with tentacles. The smaller animal is rotated 180 degrees. A study detailing the findings was published Tuesday in the journal proceeding the Royal Society B. Jellyfish. It just kind of goes on to talk about it a little bit more. But super awesome. So what does that tell you? That these animals were basically reaching their peak in evolution in terms of how they function, and they haven't changed that much since. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Aren't jellyfish immortal? Isn't that what we're... isn't that the word, you know? They can't die only by being, like, eaten or something like that. So that covers about the news roundup. We did that in about a record 6 minutes. I know you guys probably expected more from the Iron Bark Podcast. But today, I think I'm going to share my weekend adventures with you. Though you might not enjoy them very much, I think, I don't know, got a little bit of a story for you. So I was going through my drive through the mountains, as I do. Going to different locations, maybe I hike, maybe I sit out by the water. Maybe I just, you know, go to like certain like peaks where I know there might be some animals deep in a valley where I can spot them from far away. Anyway, along this drive, I was in the Jasper area, the Icefield Parkway, and we're getting to the, I've gone around by the glacier part already, and now I'm going up the incline to the part where there's the glass bridge, or it's not a bridge, it's like a balcony, and you can pay money to go stand out on it. But anyway, as you climb up, so I'm coming from like the Banff area, and I'm going north towards Jasper. So I'm going, at this point, there's an incline. We're going up the mountain towards that board, that glass walkway. As we're going up, traffic stops. It's quite unusual for traffic to stop at the mountain sometimes, but it does happen occasionally, and it's usually because there's a herd of animals on the road. So that's what I anticipated. That is not what happened. So my car comes to a stop. I look ahead of me. I start counting the cars. I can see the very front of the line. It's like a black SUV, followed by a car. Then a tour bus, because they have those tour buses to do the Icefield Parkways. And then maybe 5 to 7 vehicles, like cars. And I have a clear shot at the front of the line there. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Is there a herd of sheep on the road? Is there a bunch of elk? Is there perhaps caribou? What's going on here? I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. I can see doors open on the first couple of vehicles, meaning, and I can see people on the side of the road. These people are out of their vehicles. They're not inside their vehicle waiting for animals to clear the road. They've decided to park there. They've decided to park there, and they then go for a bit of a stroll. And the reason they go for a stroll is because off to the side of the road, on kind of like these cliff edges and mountain sides, there's a bighorn sheep walking around. And this guy really wanted to get a video of it on his cell phone. Clearly not a photographer. Clearly not a videographer. Clearly not a cinematographer. He's only got a cell phone, which everybody has. And he's out filming it, and he's stalking it and walking after it off the road with his car completely unoccupied, and he's following it like he's, I don't know, like some sort of nature and wildlife parody, like filmographer. Like he's like, oh, like he's like crawling, and he's like watching it with his phone in front of him, and he's holding it out. this is outrageous. Like, it's like, what is this guy doing? First of all, he's too close. The animal's like, what the hell is this guy doing? He's like following me. So the bus driver gets out and he starts going like, what are you doing? You're blocking the road. I can't go around you. This is like a mountainside cliff edge. There's people coming around the bend. Like, you can't just park here. Like, this guy's losing it. I'm like, well, I'm glad he's talking to him, because I don't want to get involved in this sort of conflict. Eventually, the guy gets back in his vehicle and he starts driving off after he realizes there's like a ton of people. And he's trying to justify it. You can hear him like yelling. He's like, justify. He's like, it's like, oh, I'm seeing something. It's like, the guy's like, there's tons of them. Literally tons of them in the town of Jasper itself. Like, you can just go there and they'll just be like standing out on like hundreds of them, bigger than this one. Like, large herds, like even near Abraham, like, or Kananaskis, there's places you can go and you can find tons of them, and they're everywhere. Even in Banff, like, there's just tons of them, and like local, like, places where people typically congregate, there's just tons of them there. You don't need to do it in the middle of nowhere on a cliff edge on the Icefield Parkway. You just don't need to do it. So that was frustrating. So the moral of this story is, don't park your car in the middle of the highway on a cliff edge, inconvenience a bunch of other people to harass wildlife because you want to get a video of it on your phone. Like, get your partner passenger or whatever in the car to film it from the window as you drive by it. Like, wow, problem solved. Like, you don't have to get out there and be like Ace Ventura. Like, you don't have to. I don't know. I digress, though. That was pretty frustrating. And the amount of tourists and that kind of behavior is only going to increase as the summer and the warmer days come, which is very disheartening. But unfortunately, it's inevitable. The money that tourism generates does go to help the park, so I can't hate it that much. Anyway, folks, what else? I got some videos. I did some pretty decent photography, I think. I think you'd all be proud of me. I know I'm a big stickler for like, oh, raw is the better representation of reality. I'm ashamed of myself, and you're going to be ashamed of me too. I started doing some editing. I edited some photos, but guess what? Turns out a lot more people like it. It's true. It's the nasty truth of it all. But they're pretty close. I didn't alter them like egregiously, just slight adjustments. Slight. Little effects, maybe. I don't know. You go check it out. Look for yourself. It's on my Instagram. I put them on X as well. I think they're pretty. I think they're all right. I think, like, yeah, that's all right. That's got visual appeal. What else did I do? Saw lots of animals, as usual. Lots of bighorns. Lots of elk near Jasper. I like seeing the Jasper bighorns, especially the big male herds. Like, they're just like these big, just burling, big old rams, you know, with the big curls. What else did I see? I saw a coyote. Saw some mule deer. No bears yet. No Bernstein bears. Didn't see any of those. No luck on those, unfortunately. But that is coming up. Middle of May is usually. That's when they start coming out. So I think next weekend, maybe I should go for a little boot scooting boogie, you know, around the mountains, see if I can find any Bernstein bears. Want to talk a bit about my content. Talk about the good old X platform. Seems to be getting better. Seems to be doing cooler. I've been jumping in spaces more. Sharing a little bit of my opinions on, like, you know, content creation and that sort of thing. Trying to help people out. Trying to be, you know, give some sound, like, takes on it. Kind of well-rounded, well-thought-out. The coolest thing I got to mention, you're not going to believe it, but John Cena started following me. Now, it's not the biggest thing in the world, because he does follow like 700,000 people, and I don't know how someone can click the follow button 700,000 times, but he found a way to do it, and I'm glad to be part of one of the 700,000. And yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, I remember, like, one day, like, you kind of think it's a fake account at first when someone with like a famous name starts following you. So I click on him, like, oh, John Cena. I kind of chuckle to myself. I'm like, why would a fake wrestling account follow me? Like, usually the fake accounts that follow me are typically Elon Musk related or something because I'm commenting on his things or whatever. So I look at this and I'm like, I haven't commented on anything to do with wrestling, or I don't even follow anyone to do with wrestling. Like, what's this about? I click on it. It's got the blue check mark. It's literally his handle. It's got like the 14 million followers. I'm like, oh shit, this is actually John Cena. What the hell? And then I'm wondering, like, I wonder what triggered him to follow me. Like, it was like, I wonder if he saw something I posted or something I commented on, or if maybe it was just suggested to him through like some weird algo. But anyway, that's kind of cool. I'll put that one up on the cool books. Can't see me. I fucking saw him follow me. Tell you that much. So much for that catchphrase. But that's super dope. And, you know, when I was younger and I used to watch wrestling, I used to love Edge. Edge was like one of my favorite wrestlers. And he rivaled with John Cena. So, like, I kind of had like an inadvertent dislike of John Cena as like a wrestler because he rivaled with Edge. But now that, like, you know, I've sort of gotten away from wrestling and I sort of look back on like the fond memories of it, he was like a really dope, really good rival for Edge. Like, you can't ask for one much better. Like, John Cena's like an icon of like an era, and to be a rival to like one of your favorite wrestlers, it's kind of an honor. It's kind of an honor. So I really kind of like him now. It's like, oh, you just like him because it's following you. Yeah. No. Well, it definitely triggered some thought. And he does post some actually like some interesting stuff, or like some interesting takes, some well thought out kind of like philosophy and stuff like that. So it's a good follow. It's actually not just like, maybe that's manufactured, but it doesn't seem manufactured. It's not just like promos and pumping up like whatever he's doing. It's kind of like he actually just posts something that's kind of like thought provoking or interesting. So I consider that a good follow, because there's not a whole lot of celebrity type people that do that. So I really, it's a good guy to follow. He's following me. I'm happy. He's happy. Everyone's happy. It's a good time on X-Land. What else can we say about content? I put out some more videos. Check those out. I'm always putting them out. I'm trying to put them out regularly. I started doing this, these little segments on Mountain Pareidolia. Pareidolia? So basically, you know when you look in the clouds and you see like an object and you're like, oh, that looks like a fox, or that looks like a refrigerator, or that looks like a cucumber. Like, so that your ability to like identify patterns or familiar shapes from sort of nebulous looking objects, it's called pareidolia. And when you look at things and you see things in like mountains, that's just mountain pareidolia. So I got some segments on that. I got one that looks like a giant fingerprint. I got one that looks like a couple of wolves howling. Some people see it, some people don't. Some people say some pretty funny things on what they think it looks like. So it's kind of interesting that some people can see patterns or look for patterns more so than others, where other people don't. Another one I have coming, I've recorded footage of it. I think it kind of looks like a bear, like the side profile of a bear's head, or maybe a puma. So I can't wait to put that up. Pareidolia is really cool. I kind of like that as a concept. Kind of like that I can make that into like a little video series on top of like the wildlife stuff. So I like doing like the landscape photos, pareidolia videos. Now we got some wildlife. Lots of good content to check out, I think, for everyone. I think there's a little bit of everything. Just everything to do with nature, you know, wildlife, the mountains, landscapes, a little bit of snow, you know, a little bit of greenery. It's good. It's good for the soul. It's good for the heart too. Gets you walking, gets you hiking, gets the blood pumping. Yeah. What can I say? I think that's it, folks. I think that's it for this episode. Another really small 20-minute episode. You know what? No, I want to talk about one more thing. For those of you who are longtime listeners since the beginning of this podcast, you may be familiar with my friend Danny. I gave him a phone call the other day. He didn't answer, but he called me back and we talked for a bit. And I'm not going to like discuss much about what we talked about, but you know what? I'm glad to have a guy like that as a friend. He hasn't been on the podcast in a while, but that's neither here nor there. It's not an issue, and not because of anything. But it's just like, life comes at you fast. It really does. And I invited him to come see me and come hang out with me in the mountains, and we'll go camping and do all that stuff, hopefully this summer, and hopefully if he's listening to this. I love you, Danny. Looking forward to seeing you again. Want to show you some of the wilder side of the mountains, I guess. We'll show you some cool shit. I think that's kind of one of the perks of me, like, moving away. It's like, my friends always got, like, someone they can lean on if they ever want to travel to the mountains or do some cool stuff, see some cool stuff. Crash at my place, you know, they use my car, I can drive them around. So then they don't have to pay money for, like, hotels, they don't have to pay money for, you know, vehicles. Though all that stuff does make it easier, but if you want to do it on the cheap, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Now, if I sing anymore, I'm going to get copyright claims, so I got to leave that alone. But anyway, that's it, folks. So that's a little future preview of hopefully something that happens in the future. And, you know, I'll take lots of nice photos, throw them up. Maybe me and him will do a little future potter somewhere down the road and just have another great episode. We used to talk about, like, so this podcast is mostly about nature and wildlife, but we would extend that reach to be like nature and wildlife in space, which is aliens, and then we get into like the tech and stuff like that. So, and that's more of the iron part of the Ironberg podcast. So yeah, anyway, folks, that's a wrap. It was nice talking to y'all. I hope you enjoy this short little episode. I hope you go on and look up some of the things we talked about today. We got fossilized jellyfish, we got fossilized remains of us ancient salmon. We got some ancient coral possibly being the first bioluminescent glow-in-the-dark species on Earth. Check it all out. Look at all those pictures. This was a marine episode. We didn't really do a deep dive. We did a shallow dive, but that was good enough. Anyway, see you later, Wolfpack. Cheers.